Let's do a little bit of science in this program, shall we? This year marks the 50th anniversary of the, not exactly discovery, but the determination of the structure of DNA by James Watson and Francis Crick in 1953. James Watson spoke at UC Davis back when I was a student in the 1970s, and I got to hear him over at 194 Chem. And if I haven't, this might be a good time to remind you that UCD brings you an awful lot of interesting speakers over the years. I've attended lectures by Lech Walesa last year, Gary Trudeau a couple years ago. When I was a student, I heard Jane Goodall. I heard Ronald Reagan in his only talk to a UC audience while he was governor. Next month, the Mondavi Center will be featuring Edward O. Wilson, a noted biologist. And I think this should remind you that UCD is an institution worthy of your support. And to that end, let me give you that number that you could call again, 1-800-862-1062, and please pledge your support to KDVS. But James Watson's talk at UCD was memorable. He was certainly a legend of science at this time. A rather sort of shy man, not necessarily a very gifted public speaker, but the guy had a packed crowd. I think he was a bit intimidated by having whatever it is, the capacity of 194 Chem, 500-600 people, filling the aisles to hear what he had to say about deoxyribonucleic acid. Had an article from, I believe, the San Francisco Chronicle from a few months back I wanted to quote from. Watson was apparently in Monterey, California, where the discovery of the structure of DNA was being celebrated. During a panel discussion, someone noted that their opposition to stem cell research, Watson got up, said it was crap to oppose stem cell research on the grounds that it was not essential. Apparently, bioethicist Daniel Callahan had criticized scientists for asserting that they have a moral obligation to study stem cells, as if this controversial research were the only option for people with debilitating conditions such as Parkinson's. We have 10 lines of research into Parkinson's, Callahan said. Stem cells would make 11. That caused Watson, seated among the 300 scientists and biotech industry leaders at the conference, to gesture for the microphone. Your statement that we don't need stem cell research because we're doing other stuff is crap, Watson said to laughter and applause, taking a swipe at the religious groups that had been the most persistent opponents to human embryonic studies. Watson said the debate had been clouded by the concept of soul, adding, luckily, I haven't any of those hang-ups. Well, I kind of like Dr. Watson taking a play from the Mike Myers character playbook from Saturday Night Live. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. If it's not stem cells, it's crap. Nova this week aired a special on Rosalind Franklin in a conjunction with Brenda Maddox's new book, Rosalind Franklin, The Dark Lady of DNA. Although James Watson, Francis Crick, and Maurice Wilkins were awarded the 1962 Nobel Prize for determining the structure of DNA, the men couldn't have done it if Rosalind Franklin had not taken X-ray crystallography pictures of DNA that gave vital clues to its structure. I'm glad that Nova told that story. Maurice Wilkins, who had been working with Rosalind Franklin, basically leaked her photograph of the DNA structure to Francis Crick and James Watson, which gave them vital clues in determining the structure of the molecule. In my opinion, Franklin certainly should have shared their Nobel Prize in 1962, except that she had died some years earlier from cancer and therefore was not eligible. They do not award Nobel Prize posthumously. I do think that Rosalind Franklin was given a short shrift by the old boys network of scientists, but I'm not sure that it's really fair to make Watson out to be the villain that that some have. I think it's very sad that Rosalind Franklin did not share in the Nobel Prize in 1962, but it's infinitely sadder that she passed away at the young age of 37 due to cancer in 1958. I certainly wish she'd lived a longer life, just in general. I'd like to remind you that in the third segment of today's program, we'll be talking to political scientist Michael Parenti about the media in this country. We'll also be going to our Hollywood correspondent, David Rosenblum, to end this segment. But before we do, let me just make a brief lighter note, which comes from the world of television. I'd like to quote from the Sacramento Bee, their TV columnist Rick Cushman, commenting on what the Fox Network, has been up to, which was to develop a new show called Mr. Personality, where a woman dates 20 guys, but she never gets to see what they look like because they're wearing stupid-looking masks. So, see, she's going to pick them on their personality, and we're certain it'll work out just swell. In case the poor woman doesn't have enough troubles, Monica Lewinsky is not only the show's host, but the woman's advisor and confidant. Next up, indictments for everyone. By the way, it was only a summer ago that Lewinsky tearfully complained to TV critics she just wanted to get back to a private life. And never mind all her appearances at premieres, club openings, and as a spokesman for Jenny Craig. Haley, the woman who appeared on the show, said to newsmen that Lewinsky was more than a host. She was like my buddy, my best friend, my confidant, the big sister I never had. Someone asked, is Lewinsky a good counselor? I wouldn't exactly call her a dating guru, Haley said. And now, joining us from an undisclosed location is Radio Parallax's own Hollywood correspondent, David Rosenblum, currently at work with the Pentagon as a media consultant. David.
Yes, I'm here, Doug. How you doing?
What happened to the Syrian invasion and your theme song for it?
Oh, man, the Brits won't go along, you know? Operation Bust a Move is now on hold.
Not busting a move.
No. Uh-huh. No busting.
Colonel Klondike says you have news for us.
Indeed I do. You know, the Pentagon, now they want a theme for the upcoming election.
For the Iraqi election.
Yeah, the election theme will be played whenever the networks and cable, you know, cover it. It'll be a nice mood setter, as all good themes are.
What's it based on?
We updated a classic rock anthem.
Which one?
Rock the Casbah.
Well, is that line about dropping bombs between the minarets the sort of thing you want to go with, David?
We could change the lines here and there to, you know, something less threatening, perhaps, you know.
Oh, well, I hope so.
But we really got inventive with Mr. Ahmed Chalabi's election.
The U.S. favorite candidate.
You're going to love this one, Doug.
Am I?
I bet you are. You are.
Why is that?
Because you can't help but love this song we came up with. I'm telling you.
Well, I can't wait to hear it, David.
It's cute. It's folksy. It's about families and cohesion, but with a new twist.
Well, what is it?
Well, you know, we purchased the rights to the Addams Family, and we've given it new lyrics.
The TV show with John Astin, Cousin It, Lurch the Butler.
Yeah, all that. You know, it's a Nick at Night classic. And then later, you know, they made it into a feature film with that guy, you know, Raul Julia and Angelica Houston.
Uh-huh.
It's an engaging piece of music, you know, a classic, and we've made some great lyrical changes for Mr. Chalabi there.
Changes to maybe lessen Iraqi confusion over a ghoulish, gothic family.
We don't want people in the Middle East to be nonplussed over Uncle Festa and Morticia and that whole hand coming out of the box thing. We just like the TV theme, that's all.
Yeah, I imagine the New Yorker's cartoons probably don't have a big following in Basra, Mosul, or Baghdad.
I don't imagine so, but look, this theme will work, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a demo?
Regrettably, I do not, yet. But I can do a demo.
Okay.
You ready?
Well, I guess I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, here we go. This is the official Ahmed Chalabi, or Chalabi, whatever, election theme.
Sung to the tune of the Addams Family TV theme song.
Exactamundo, look. Okay, here we go. You
okay.
ready?
All right.
You ready? Okay, here we go. Iraqis need a strong man, a firm and steady guide hand, with help from Uncle Sam. It's Ahmed Chalabi.
Well, I'm reserving judgment so far.
To aid Baghdad's protection, we'll help him hold elections. So long as their selection is Ahmed Chalabi.
Oh, my.
He's not like Win Ventu, no Marcos or Mobutu. He's more like Desmond Tutu. This Ahmed Chalabi.
David.
What?
Stop.
You want more?
No.
I got more, you know.
Stop it. For the love of God.
What? It's catchy.
David?
What? Look. The royalties on this alone may allow me to retire here.
Why not use that other Clash tune? Should I stay or should I go?
Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I... Look, we didn't buy the rights, okay?
What if the Iraqi people don't like Chalabi?
What's not to like?
Well, the fact that we're giving him to the Iraqi nation, ready or not.
Well, they should be glad we're giving him somebody. We're a giver. We're givers here. Look, he'll be better than Saddam, don't you think?
Well, I hope.
Well, there you go. Hey, you know, that's not a bad slogan. Better than Saddam. You know, I could see it on placards.
What will the people of Iraq think?
Look, this guy will get the trains to run on time. Count on it.
Like Mussolini?
Once water and power are restored, sure, they'll love him. Trust me.
What if they don't?
Ah, Mr. Gloomy Gus here. You know, he has a huge lobby behind him already.
The Chalabi lobby?
Why, couldn't have put it better myself. Look, he's a certified Iraqi, Doug. The real thing, the real article. Why not be optimistic?
Well, we can all try, I guess.
Yeah, that's the spirit. That's the spirit.
Well, come again, David.
I sure will. And remember, like our song says, been gone since 58, but Rumsfeld thinks he's great. Looks more and more like fate. Picked Ahmed Chalabi.
Now we really gotta go.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
That was our Hollywood correspondent and apparently now Pentagon theme song contractor, David Rosenblum. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM. This is Radio Parallax. You can call us, the radio station, at 1-800-862-1062 during this, our pledge week, to do what you can to support our program. And I certainly hope you will. We'll be back after a short break. I'm Douglas Everett. We're gonna pay a call on the Adams Family. We'll be right back.